Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We have him right now, and he's joining us courtesy of the River Islands guest line, former KTVU Channel 2 sports anchor, Bay Area sports icon, Mark Ibanez, joining the Morning Roast, Joe Spinoni alongside Joe Shasky. And let's ask the man himself. Hey, Mark, I asked Joe, what does he think Mark Ibanez is, you know, number one story going on right now in the Bay? What's hitting you the most, Mark? Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, what's going on? A good cup of morning Joes with you guys.
Because we're both literally drinking coffee. Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Joe Shasky, you did an awesome job at the Olympic Club a couple weeks ago for the fight night, man. That was a tough crowd, and Spadoni, you'd be really proud of your man there. He did good under tough circumstances.
Oh, it was rough. Oh, my goodness. That night, I mean, geez, Louise. There was a who's who, and you were in the crowd. It was going, that's not what you're thinking about in sports, right? Is it Purdy? Is it Shanahan? Kuminga? Like, what's hitting you this morning? I mean, the Giants got eliminated.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm pretty ticked.
Bob Melvin?
Right. I'm ticked off. But, you know, it's been kind of a victory hangover with the 49ers. You know, happy they're 3-0. But, you know, it is really a tough mental hurdle to get over the Nick Bosa thing on multiple levels, I think, because it's such a psychological, multi-leveled thing that happens when your best defensive player, arguably, I guess you could say, because Fred Warner, but you know, it's just it hurts the team in multiple ways, just with his leadership, obviously his talents, and then the way the opposition plans to attack the 49er defense, and it just kind of takes the joy out of being 3-0. I'm not saying it can't be overcome. I'm not saying John Lynch and company might surprise us all with some kind of a trade to bring in some extra help on the defensive line to kind of boost morale. But it does take a psychological toll. And, you know, I got over the Giants about a week and a half ago. And, you know, that's tough because, Joe, you know, the baseball is my thing. And the Giants are my number one. Niners are close second. But I just think the devastation of the Nick Bosa injury is at the top of my list right now. I've been thinking about it all week. And, you know, not to discount the fact that just for the guy himself, you know, I mean, he loves football. We've all heard the story about him throwing a tantrum on the kitchen floor at his parents' house when he was a little kid, when they wanted him to wait to play football because his older brother Joey was playing. The guy has it in his blood. He loves the game. And I was just sitting there looking at the schedule this morning and thinking, man, that guy's going to miss, you know, another 14 games of his career. I feel bad for the individual, and I know how much he lives, breathes, and sleeps the game, and it's a bummer on all accounts.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring that up, because I kind of said on Monday, like, just seeing the longevity of Fred Warner to play week in, week out at the level that he does, I think we kind of take it for granted a little. Like, the game is so crazy violent. These guys put so much of their heart, sweat, blood, and tears into it. And especially if you reach that level, where Nick's at, where Fred's at, where Christian's at, McCaffrey. And like when these injuries happen, it's like so random. It's so random that Fred could throw his body around as much as he does, and then two guys just kind of hit Bosa and his leg plants in the wrong way, and boom, he's out. And he's done, and it could change his career. I don't know, man. It's tough. It makes me appreciate longevity.
Yeah, and you know what the thing is? Just human nature, right? We want to look at the injury situation with the Niners, just keep them in mind in particular. It's all over the league, but the Niners seem to have had a really bad spate of injuries. And what's human nature? We want to blame somebody.
Yeah.
We want to blame the training staff. We want to point a finger at Shanahan for running too many dangerous plays or whatever, you know, and you can't really do that. It's just like you said, it's chance, it's bad fortune. And obviously, as a 49er fan growing up and all these years of covering them, et cetera, it seems to me like a very unusual span of time the last few years where they have just had catastrophic injuries to the most key players. And I'm sick of it. You know, it takes some of the joy out of the game because you're holding your breath. Every time McCaffrey, like, he got hit, you know, really hard this past Sunday, and you're thinking, how's he going to get up from that? And he pops right up. But, you know, realistically, how long can that happen with as many touches as he gets? And it's just a devastating thing about football. And then for me, being much older than you guys, seeing what damage these guys sustain over the course of 40 years. You know, I have a lot of friends and acquaintances that played with the 49ers, just say in the 80s. And then you see what these guys go through over the long haul and how it takes its toll as they get into their 50s and 60s. We love the game, but it is a blood sport. And it definitely, it's a hardship in their latter years. And, you know, there's nothing that can be done with it. And all the players, I mean, I once asked Jim Otto, former Raiders center, like some ungodly amount, 34 surgeries and lost part of his leg and blah, blah, blah. And I said, man, would you do this all over again? He didn't even miss a beat. It's like, absolutely. There's nothing that can replace the adrenaline rush and the feeling of running out of that tunnel and having 55,000 people screaming for you. And, you know, that's living life to its fullest because it's, like I say, it's in their bones, man, and they wouldn't take it back. And we as fans just need to appreciate what they go through and then at the same time hold our breath because the fate of the team depends on their health, obviously.
Talking with Mark Abanez here on the Morning Rose, Bay Area sports broadcasting legend. And Mark, what have you made of the Mac Jones renaissance these last 2 weeks? I mean, do we even put Purdy back out there? Like, if he was limited in practice, we're going to find out today what the mobility is like. But if, you know, if he's still a step slow, do you hold Purdy out this week and just let Mac rip it against his former team, the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I think either team, either quarterback should be able to beat a team like Jacksonville. And the way I would look at it is if Brock is not 100%, I mean, springy leg, doing anything he can with that toe, then you don't put him out there. But at the same time, I mean, Mac Jones didn't look too agile in the second half of that game. He took a shot. His knee is probably nowhere near 100%. So, you know, I go with the healthiest guy, but isn't it a great thing to have a backup quarterback that you know that can get you the distance, can get you a victory? Obviously, you don't count on him to play a large number of games. But to me, anytime you have a good quarterback, in, you know, behind your number one guy, it kind of takes the load off and gives you some hope. I mean, last year when they went up to Green Bay and then they had to go over to Buffalo, did you have one smidgen of hope that they were going to win those games? I can't even remember the guy's name.
Brandon Allen. Like, he stunk.
Yeah. We're done. We're done. And, you know, I mean, he's good enough to make it onto an NFL team. But, I mean, you just knew there was no hope. With Mac Jones, there's hope. And wasn't it the talk and the rumor that originally he was the guy that they wanted instead of Trey Lance? You know, so they see something in him. He's obviously got a glimmer of talent. He's a winner, and he's a real upbeat guy, I understand, and the other players like him. And that's all part of being a leader and a quarterback is those subtle things that don't show up on a stat sheet. And Mac Jones has them, as does Brock. So I don't go with Brock on Sunday against the Jaguars unless he's feeling 100%. And I mean 100%.
All right, I want to talk about two of the coaches here. Not Kerr. I want to talk about Shanahan, and then a get to Bob Melvin in a second, okay, because you're on two different planes for me. Shanahan, you know, like, I hold Bill Walsh in the highest regard, and I think, obviously, I was younger, but I love hearing from people who covered him, like yourself. He would show his vulnerability, and when he would lose, you know, I've read all these books on him, he would literally cry throughout the week. He'd be agonizing over these losses, and then by Friday and Saturday, he'd pick himself up, and he'd come back. He could be ruthless. He could be a perfectionist. He was extremely cerebral, but I love the way he showcased and demonstrated his vulnerability. Shanahan's different. I'm not saying he's as cutthroat and as dry as Belichick, because I think he's more human than that, but he actually reminds me more of Don Nelson. I think he's and I mean that in a good way. He's a tinkerer. He's stubborn, but he's got his philosophies. He might be a little flawed, but he's freaking good. You've seen all these different coaches. How do you view Shanahan?
I see him like this. First of all, the access we as media people had is so much different. I mean, literally, if you can believe this, when I first started, you could kind of walk right up to Bill Walsh and ask him, you know, to do an interview. You could poke your head into his office way back when their center was at in Redwood City. It was much more personable. So I'd be lying to you if I said I knew Shanahan at all. Personally, like what really makes him tick. Obviously, he loves the game and he's got that pedigree with his dad and the football family and all of that. But I love the way Bill Walsh would wear his heart on his sleeve. He would let you sense what he was really feeling. And he did a lot of things progressively in the game of football. He got rid of hazing with the 49ers. He was a real softy in a lot of those things. Like, he understood the plight of a rookie, and he was obviously strategically ahead of his time in so many ways. And Shanahan, I think, is, in my mind, what I'm seeing just from a peripheral right now, is that he's starting to get a little bit jaded. He's getting shorter with the media. He has kind of a blasé-like attitude that comes across to me as, like, you guys don't really know the game. You don't know what's going on inside. And I'm not going to give you any more insight. Like, the way he reads off the injury list and the way he responds to questions is borderline getting to be. He wasn't that way his first few years, but I feel like he's getting to be almost disrespectful to the media and not understanding their jobs. Like, you know, the way he, you know, talks about Brock's toe when that happened a few weeks ago. He's like, yeah. It's a toe. Yeah. That's what, you know, he's just getting short. He's getting tired. But what these guys need to understand is, sorry if it bores you. Sorry if you don't think we know the game. But part of your job is dealing with the media, keeping us informed, which in turn, we keep the fans informed and engaged. And hello, that promotes the sport that is making you a multimillionaire. And it bothers me when they shrug off and kind of talk down to the media. I think it's condescending, and I think he's starting to show a little more of that. Remember when he came to the 49ers, he had a reputation as being a little bit curt, a little bit full of himself, and he didn't show that the first few years, and I think it's starting to come out. That's my opinion doesn't take away from the fact that he's a brilliant X's and O's guy. And I always say, man, if you don't like your coach, tell me who the next guy is you're going to replace him with. And, you know, let's fire the manager. Let's get rid of the coach. But hello, who out there right now would you rather have than Shanahan? Tell me.
Not a lot. That's for sure. No, seriously, it's probably like it might be the only other guy in his division. It might be Sean McVay because the guy's won the Super Bowl. But again, they go about it a little bit differently. And it's funny you say that, Mark, because it's got me thinking. Like the greatest coach of this century, maybe of all time, is Bill Belichick in football. Right, head coach. He's won 6 Super Bowls. He wasn't what he ended up being. He didn't end up being what he was. Like early on, he was fine. He was a normal guy talking to the media, right? It wasn't until he started winning all those Super Bowls, you know, the hoodie came out, you know, he just mumbled, we're on to Cincinnati. Like it didn't start becoming that. Same with Greg Popovich. I don't think Popovich was like that early on, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, Greg Popovich to me, I mean, do you guys remember when he went on this tirade against Zaza? When he accidentally sprained Kawhi Leonard's ankle by jumping out, and he called it tantamount to manslaughter. He said, "You don't manslaughter's doing something accidentally. I don't care if Zaza, you know, did it accidentally. He still did it. What does intent have to do with it? It's like, well, it's got a lot to do with it." Popovich. And remember, I used to be so condescending to Doris in those sideline interviews and all of that. Well, he wasn't like that at the beginning. And oh, by the way, what happened to the San Antonio dynasty when David Robinson and Tim Duncan retired? You know, they haven't been relevant in the NBA in quite a long time. I mean, Kawhi kept them close, but you know, you're only as good as a lot of your players, but at the same time, you can have a bad coach, a mediocre coach who's got a load of talent and he doesn't know what to do with it. So kudos to those guys to bring the talent together and bring championships, deliver championships. But at the same time, you got to have the horses as well. And I'm sorry to see these guys get jaded and they start reading their own headlines and they get a little full of themselves. And I've seen it happen so many times over the years. And by the way, Bill Walsh was not one of those guys. He was always cool, even after the Super Bowl triumph.
I feel like Bochy came off the same way with the Giants. I think a lot of people really respected him. You know, I'm watching Bob Melvin, and I just, I don't know. I don't know what they're
doing.
Last night,
I want to hear it, Joe.
No, like last night, it drove me nuts, Mark. Last night, I'm like, look, I've been waiting. When you have Steph Curry, the tolerance for young players making mistakes, I get it. It's going to be very minimal. We're trying to win a championship with Steph Curry. When you got Joe Montana or Steve Young, like we are in championship mode. The Giants have been to the playoffs one time since 2017 started, okay? One time, all right? And so last night, yeah, mathematically they're still alive. They've been dead for weeks, if not months. They faked us out 10 different times. And you bring up Bryce Eldridge, who is your prized possession, 20-year-old player, who I think that they think is going to be a very important figure for the team for a decade to come. And he gets his 3 at-bats yesterday, and it's the 9th inning. And Willie Adames gets a base hit. He's standing at second base. There's 2 outs after Chapman strikes out. 2 outs, and they pinch hit Wilmer Flores, who's a good guy. But Wilmer is not on this team next year. And they pinch hit for their 20-year-old last night. And I'm saying, guys, like, if this is a playoff team, I get it. You pinch hit for Wilmer. Why are we taking the bat out of a 20-year-old's hands? And I kept thinking about what Roger Craig would do, what Bob Melvin would, what Bob Melvin did versus what maybe Bochy would have done. My jaw dropped, and there's no rage this morning. And I'm like, guys, why are we pinch hitting for the 20-year-old here? Let's see him have a moment here. I know he started slow. This team's going nowhere. Am I wrong?
Well, first, let me give you full credit because you hung in there and watched the rest of the game. I'm going to give you a full accountability on my part. After the Cardinals rallied from 8-3 down, you know, that's my thing now in retirement. I'm good, But when it starts annoying me and I start, I'm at a zero frustration tolerance level. And I didn't even know that happened. You're the one filling me in on it. I just saw on my phone that Flores struck out and ended. But I didn't know the consequence and all that because I was already too ticked off before that happened. But, yeah, give the kid a taste of what it feels like to be up there in the ninth inning. And even if he fails, you know, it still gives him that chance to be a hero. And let's say the kid drills a 2-run homer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, then you got a completely different story. You've uplifted him. You've given him confidence. And, you know, they always say in baseball that your team kind of takes on the personality of your manager. And I think that's been kind of evident with Bob Melvin. The Giants just seem to be, you know, a little laid back. And if some good stuff happens to happen, then they're psyched up. But on a day-to-day basis, they don't bring that full tilt energy that you're seeing from a lot of teams. And, you know, I'm going to just go ahead and say this. When the Giants had an opportunity and they interviewed him to hire Stephen Vogt, I think that is where things went wrong. And Stephen Vogt had experience with the Giants, experience with the Bay Area. He was new and fresh. The players relate to a guy who has played the game in their recent memory. They know the guy. Many of them would have played against him and with him. And they lost an opportunity to bring some fresh blood into the organization. Stephen Vogt, look what he's doing with the Cleveland Guardians. I mean, they have come for, it's going to be possibly the biggest comeback in a divisional race in the history of baseball. They were like, what, 15 out in July? And there had to be something he had done in a leadership role with that team that made them believe that they could come out of the dungeon and make this bid. And they took over the Tigers last night for first place. Steve Vogt would have been the perfect hire. Bob Melvin is a good manager. He's had a good run, but let me know. Well, how many World Series has he won? I forget.
Zero.
You know, so Stephen Vogt would have been the guy, but you know, we'll see. It looks like to me they're not going to make a managerial change in the off season, but we'll see.
Hey, Mark, great stuff. We really appreciate your time this morning.
You're the best, buddy.
We got to do it again more as the season goes on, and we got Warriors Media Day on Monday. At some point, we'll get into the Jonathan Kuminga saga crisis. We called it.
Oh my god.
We don't even know. But Mark, great stuff.
Can you be
his
agent? Do you want to be Kuminga's agent? I don't know. Like, I feel like we're taking auditions.
Well, hey, and we were talking about coach. Let me just say, Coach Steve Kerr is one of those guys who never did change and get arrogant with all the success.
True.
He's the same guy he was when he got here, and Warrior fans should never take for granted how cool that guy's been and how good and consistent he's been, and total respect for Steve Kerr on all levels. So he's not a guy who changed with success, and I tip of the cap to that.
And same with Mark Abani, as a guy that never changed with success. We appreciate it, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
There you go.
See you soon, dude.
Mark Abanez, who joins us courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line, Bay Area sports broadcasting icon, the pride of Marin, Joe. He's got a lot of stuff there.
I think he's in Napa these days.
Now, but he was born and raised in Marin County, if I'm not mistaken. But he's in Napa. Well, I mean, he's in Carter's neck of the woods then. Nice, the winery. Sweet.
Carter owns the winery.
He owns Napa?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.